Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What? Amen. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as I do each week at this time, gives me a great deal of pride and pleasure to be able to announce the conclusion of the work week. And more importantly than that, the beginning of the weekend. Everybody ready? Let's do some drum banging here. Yeah, a little Todd Rundgren for you.
Hoo-ah!
I don't want to work. I want to bang on the drum all day.
All right, then.
I don't want to play. I just want to bang on the drum all day. Let's have another verse. Uh-huh.
Excellent.
I don't want to work. I want to bang on the drum all day.
Work, 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 work.
I don't want to play. I just want to bang on the drum all day. There you go. It's now official. The weekend is underway. Thank you. Great to have you along as we enter the most heavily commuted and, as a result, most heavily congested hour of the Bobby Mac Show, the 5 o'clock follies for the final time this week. And as always, your input is invited, encouraged, and welcomed. Here's how you join me and be a part of the conversation. And here on Friday, essentially anything you feel like talking about is fair game. 800-347-1063 is the Ingalls Advantage talk line. If you prefer to text me, just use the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line number 71307. And to begin the hour, let's give John the leadoff batter position here. He is in Inman. Hi, John, and welcome to the program.
Hey, Bobby, how you doing today?
So far, so good.
Well, I'm a first-time caller, and I was just listening to your show, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, did I hear you correctly, John? You said you are a first-time caller to the program. Is that correct?
I am.
Well, in that case, you must be given some welcoming cowbell.
Well, I appreciate that, Bobby.
My pleasure.
Hey, I've got some concerns with this Cambridge, Massachusetts. So they're choosing to enforce some laws with certain individuals, but not choosing to enforce the laws with others. Wouldn't that violate the 13th Amendment under equal protection under the law when states generate laws?
I would think it certainly would, John, given the assumption that the Constitution of the United States means anything to the police department in Cambridge, Massachusetts, which apparently it doesn't.
Well, my thing is, I mean, it sounds like you would be giving a defendant, say, a U.S. citizen that may be charged with that crime, you're actually giving them a defense as to plead not guilty because you can't choose to enforce the laws with some people and not choose to enforce laws with others. Would you be able to?
That's interesting. And not being an attorney, I don't know. But it would seem to me that if I were charged and I was in the court, I would say, hey, Your Honor, how come if I was here as an illegal alien, I wouldn't be in this courtroom to begin with?
It just sounds like selective enforcement. And, you know, there's been court cases all over the country that
sure.
that just plainly, you know, point out that selective enforcement is illegal.
Yeah.
So if you're choosing to enforce one law or enforce a law on one particular person, that would be constitutionally illegally.
And if we have thought of this, with all the attorneys that are out there, call all twos, call all threes, call all tens, whatever. if we have thought of it, they probably have as well.
Well, I'm just saying, it's just food for thought there, Bobby. I enjoy your show. I appreciate you listening to me, and I just, what is this world coming to?
I got you. And your point's well taken. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And don't be a stranger as a first-time caller. Welcome anytime. Let's go to my stomping grounds of Taylor's and bring in Ray, who is next up here on the Friday Free-for-All. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bob. I tell you what, I feel like I'm horizontally parked in a parallel universe.
I know exactly what you mean.
I tell you, man. John said it exactly right. First of all, the mayor, the governor, and everybody else, including police officers, take an oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the laws thereabouts. But you know, the Bee Gees wrote a song about Massachusetts.
They did. Yeah, and the lights all went out in Massachusetts.
I sing it this way. They must be smoking crack in Massachusetts.
Not bad. Anyway, not bad, Ray. You need a little work on the tremolo that the Bee Gees always had, that stuff. But
I just can't get that working. It's sort of like your guy, the putt, making that ever crucial.
Yeah. Hey, I hear you. I hear you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate it. It's funny. Yeah. Hey, Bobby, I always sign non-disclosure agreements with my left hand. Seriously. Of course, I'm right-handed, so the signatures never match. Now, here's an interesting question. We've talked about this before, but we've never had someone connected to the individual surrounding these allegations come forward. A big story today in the London Daily Mail. Ilhan Omar, you remember her. She represents Somalia in the House of Representatives. Well, she represents a gerrymandered district with 80,000 Somalians in it in Minneapolis. It's Senate of Congress. Ilhan Omar did marry her brother and said she would do, quote, she would do what she had to do to get him papers to keep him in the U.S. Ilhan Omar told friends years ago that the man who went on to become her second husband was, in fact, her brother. DailyMail.com can confirm. Eid Rahim Osman is the first person to go on record to speak of how Omar said she wanted to get her brother papers so he could stay in the U.S. It's long been rumored that Omar and Ahmed Elmi are siblings, but because of a lack of paperwork in war-torn Somalia, proof has never been uncovered. Osman said she needed to get papers for her brother to go to school. We all thought she was just getting papers to allow him to stay in this country. Omar was married to her second husband, Elmi, in 2009 by a Christian minister, although she's Muslim. She was first married to Ahmed Hirsi in 2002 in a Muslim ceremony before they split in 2008, but she later had another child with Hirsi while legally wed to Elmi, the guy thought to be her brother. Osman said, when Hirsi and Ilhan Omar got married, a lot of people were invited. It was a big Islamic wedding uniting two large clans in the community. He added, when she married Elmi, no one even knew about it. No one knew there'd been a wedding until the media turned up the certificate years later. Osman's revelations sure to renew calls for an investigation into the Minnesota freshman representative who has repeatedly refused to answer questions about her marriage to the man alleged to be her brother. She originally said the idea that the spouses were also siblings were baseless and absurd rumors. accusing journalists of what else? Islamophobia. But since then has gone dark on commenting on the issue. I saw in other reports the FBI has assigned an agent to look into it. I'm sure that those investigators from the Hoover Building will get to the bottom of this. I have great confidence in this, don't you? 16 after 5 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Quick break here, and then we're right back with more as we roll on with the 5 o'clock follies here on WORD.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Zeblin.
Oh, boy, this is great news in on the text line. Hey, Bobby, longtime WORD listener here, just walked out of the doctor's office after tests. Now 2 years cancer-free after prostate cancer. Way to go. Sun is shining today. God is in his heaven, so let's all be thankful for what blessings the Lord gives us. From John in Taylor's. Congratulations. Bobby, so Omar apparently married her brother. Is it too soon to call her Cersei? Oh. Little Game of Thrones reference there. Bobby, I'd rather go to China and lick doorknobs than vote for Elizabeth Warren. And we're going to put you down for a no then for Elizabeth Warren. So I went back and printed out this story. I was tipped off to this on the text line. This is from American Military News. Cambridge, Massachusetts police will no longer arrest illegal immigrants driving without licenses. Now, the headline is a little misleading. Here's the story. The city of Cambridge, Mass, that's the home, you know, of Harvard, where they park their car at Harvard Yard. The city of Cambridge passed a new ordinance on Monday telling its police officers to avoid arresting illegal immigrants driving without a license in the city. So what are they? Are they hiring psychics as the police officers now? Yeah. Wait a minute. I'm seeing that that's an illegal driving that vehicle, so we better not stop them. The new law entitled, what else? The Welcoming Community Ordinance passed with unanimous support from the Cambridge City Council. It will update the Cambridge Municipal Code to encourage its police to avoid actions that would create a record accessible to federal immigration agents. Say they want to shield these people from those brutes at ICE who are merely enforcing the federal laws already passed by the members of Congress. Officers are advised to let unlicensed drivers go with a court summons so that no arrest report will find its way to U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement detection. So I guess that's their manipulation around the law. Rather than getting a ticket, they get a court summons. And this is all wink, wink, nod, nod, say no more. The assumption on the part of both parties, the illegal driver and the police, is that the court summons will never be answered. They just never show up. Cambridge declared itself a sanctuary city in 2017. The city has reportedly held the same policing guidelines as an informal practice in the past. Oh, now they just made it official. That's right. That's great. But the city's policymakers to make the guidelines an official policy. The stated purpose of the new ordinance is to establish the city of Cambridge as a welcoming city, to declare that all are welcome here, and to increase public confidence in the city of Cambridge's government by establishing standards associated with the city's voluntary involvement in federal immigration. Look, if the illegals cared anything about laws, would they be here illegally to begin with? The ordinance does not, see, this is the workaround. The ordinance does not allow the city's officers to ignore the law entirely, wink, wink, nod, nod. In a joint statement by Cambridge Mayor Sumbul Siddiqui, City Manager Louis A. DeBasquale, and Police Commissioner Branville G. Bard Jr., the city's leaders noted Massachusetts drivers are required to be insured, and failure to comply with the state's laws will result in additional consequences. Look, if they don't have a license, they're not going to have insurance. However, the ordinance does state that officers shall, whenever possible, and if there are no other violations causing the person to be arrested, issue a summons to court instead of taking the person into custody. Well, here's a hypothetical for you. I'm driving in Cambridge, Massachusetts, within the environs of the city limits, and I don't have a driver's license. But I'm a natural-born citizen. So what do I get? Do I get a summons to court? Or do I get a ride behind the screen in the cruiser to the Gray Bar Hotel? And you know the answer to that one as well as I do. To the phones we go. J.D. is next up. He is in Simpsonville. Hi, J.D., and welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
You hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Hey, not really a friend, but someone I kind of know. He's a pretty big Democrat, and he's kind of well-known in the community.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that me and a lot of Republicans that are against the license deal, whether it's, you know, they get illegals get a license, or if they get caught driving without a license, you know, they just get issued to court.
Right.
He's telling me that basically what it is that the Dems are setting it up as a way to get the illegals down the road, because then they will have their addresses and all the information to get them at a later point in time.
And if they have a driver's license and they're giving driver's license to illegals in New York and California and other places, then that serves as a as an ID, so they can go and vote.
Yes.
Yeah.
But when he's telling me this, and I was really surprised to hear this come from him, because he is not the type that I would expect to say something like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's been a few others I've heard say this too, and I'm just thinking, okay, so y'all are expecting the licenses to be given to them without any issue, without questions or whatever.
Right.
Just so you can get the information of where they live so you can go after them later. But at the same token, as you just mentioned, they're able to vote.
Yes.
And then the whole no ticket, you know, they just get issued a court summons if they don't have a license.
Right.
That he's saying, he says basically the same things, that they get their information when they go to court, and then they get followed or whatever, you know, after they get a few of them together.
Yeah, have a paper trail. Yeah, right.
And I don't know. I mean, it boggles my mind that he would say something like that. I kind of see where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's like, I don't know about it.
Yeah, sounds like a feasible policy for the other side to employ to me. Sounds exactly like the kind of thing they'd do.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't believe he said it. He's a pretty smart man and a successful businessman, and I just wasn't expecting that from him.
Yeah, it may have been a disclosure that in retrospect he wishes he hadn't made. is a diplomatic way I can think of to put it. Yeah, I hope so, too. Thanks, J.D. I appreciate the call. That's interesting stuff. 529 here on the Bobby Mac Show. Take a quick break here, and Annie's ready to go in the news center. I'm right back on the other side, and so is today's edition of ATF. Amazing True Facts is coming up. Uh-huh. Welcome back. 5:37 here, the Bobby Mac Show. Friday free-for-all as we wrap up the work week. And time for today's edition of ATF. And here's Gary Goodvoice.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Bob McClain presents Amazing True.
That's right, because they're amazing, and they are true, and they're factual. And as always, I am joined by the Bobettes for this segment of the program. That would be, of course, Miss Moneypenny on the other side of the glass.
BS.
No, wrong
oh,
feature.
Oh.
Yes or BS earlier.
I bet.
And, of course, little Annie in the news center.
Good evening.
Modern medical science. It's pretty amazing. Take, for instance, the case of violinist Dagmar Turner.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Needed brain surgery to remove a tumor. So she played her violin during the surgery so that doctors could be certain they were not affecting her coordination during the procedure.
Whoa.
Here's what it sounded like.
Amazing. Carry on, buddy.
Dude. They missed.
You know, they didn't say when they told me about it. They didn't tell me she was not a good violist. Sounded kind of like it. At least, you know, it could have been worse. I mean, there is violin music that surgeons wouldn't want to hear the woman playing during surgery. Something like, well, maybe like this.
That is bad, Bobby.
Thank you. Little
bad, Bobby.
Psycho stuff for you there. How about something with a little better beat to it? For this, we have to go to South America. Guy in Brazil noticed his washing machine making noises because it was off balance. Mm-hmm. Ever have that happen, you know, and it goes through the cycle and it's rocking back and forth? So, you know, he decided to take the lemons and make lemonade. So he grabbed his tambourine and did this along to the machine.
Nice.
Well,
awesome.
I don't know how good it was, how musical it was, but still kind of beat the violinist, I guess.
I think his washing machine has more rhythm than you do.
Which is a whole other set of problems. There you go. That is today's edition of Amazing True Facts. Thank you.
Come on.
Mixed reactions from the audience on today's
edition. Audience just wants more, Bobby, more.
Well, but we are pressed for time because, of course, we have to go back to the phones here on the Friday Free For All and welcome in to the program the official, unofficial military affairs correspondent of the Bobby Mack program. That would be, of course, Colonel Ted. And as always, Colonel Ted, Bob and the Bobettes salute you.
Salute right back at you there.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
I have to say, as usual, what I intended to talk about gets pushed aside by what I hear you talking about while I'm on hold.
Uh-huh.
But I have to tell this story. I may have told it before, I'm not sure. But you were talking about Cambridge.
Yes.
Massachusetts.
Right.
That is where I happen to have been conceived, as it turns out.
Well, that may be that may be in the TMI category there, Colonel Ted.
Well, interesting story. My dad was there as a 90-day wonder in the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
And mom and dad, they were both Indiana University grads, but they got married in Cambridge. And I did a little math in my head and backdated from my birth date to their wedding date and figured that has to have been where it happened, unless they were off for a weekend somewhere. I'm thinking they probably didn't get a lot. He didn't get a lot of time off being an
officer. No. But when you were this was World War II days, right?
Yeah. All the Ivy League schools had those kind of programs.
Yes, they did. Harvard, Yale, Brown, Columbia, all of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know how Dad ended up at Harvard, but I always joke that being conceived in Cambridge is the only way I could get to Harvard.
I always loved President Kennedy's line. You know, he was a Harvard man. He was
presidents, as it were Harvard grads.
Yeah, he was invited to speak. I think it was in front of the Hasty Pudding Club, their comedy group that they have there.
Yeah.
It was at Yale. It was they were giving President Kennedy an honorary degree at Yale. And Kennedy famously said, "Now I have the best of both worlds, a Harvard education and a Yale degree." He was clever that way. Hey,
He had a pretty good sense of humor, sir.
He did. Thank you, Colonel Ted, very much for the gift that that you dropped off at the radio station for me today.
Well, it's a small thing. I was in a store that was an Irish store, but McLean, that is more a Scottish name, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. Yeah, McLean. My particular part of the family comes from Duart in Scotland. It's around Loch Buoy, around in there.
I need to get Scotland. When I was stationed in Europe, here in Germany, I didn't get up there. I got to England and not to Scotland. But
Colonel Ted was shopping. Colonel Ted was shopping. Where were you when you were doing the shopping, Colonel Ted?
That was in St. Augustine.
Oh, in Florida. Okay. Yeah, and he saw this this keychain, very nice little leather keychain, key fob, you know, and it has the McLean coat of arms on it and says McLean, appropriately enough.
I figured a door key or, you know, something could go on there.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you, Colonel Ted. I immediately swapped it out with the Masters key fob that I previously had. So I have upgraded now.
Well, I'm not sure of that. But like I said, I couldn't find one with the name Frank on it. So my eyes just immediately went to that one. I don't know if that's a sign of something or what. But
So where are your travels taking you from here, Colonel Ted?
Well, interestingly, Charleston, early next week, and then up to Washington, D.C. for some CPAC action.
Cool.
And then out to California for the month of March, it looks like.
Okay. Are you going to be in Charleston when the president is there next Friday?
No, I'll be there Tuesday and leave early Wednesday morning.
You're not going to stick around to see El Presidente?
Well, no. I've been to one of his rallies back in the 2016 primary.
Yeah.
I went to one, and you were a Trump man before I was. If you recall, we didn't see.
That's true. That's true. If I remember correctly, you were a Ted Cruz guy in the beginning.
I was. I worked for Cruz in the primary, but then I went to that rally, and I tell you, there was no doubt in my mind after seeing the crowd there, the mostly blue collar, as far as I could tell, you know, just
it was
around and stuff. And,
pretty obvious at that point that the steamroller was underway, right?
There's no question in my mind.
Yeah. Well, Colonel Ted, be safe in your travels, and thanks again for the key fob. I greatly appreciate it. It's very nice.
Yeah, quite welcome.
And check in with us next week, especially when you get to CPAC, and let us know what's going on there, all right?
I will. I'll be staying at military bases in the Washington area and then on the way to California, I'm sure. So.
Gotcha. Good deal. Well, we'll look forward to it. Thanks, Colonel, and be safe in your travels. 546, 14 before 6, here on the Bobby Mac Show. Be right back.
McClain.
Welcome back. 5:51, 9 before 6 here on the Bobby Mac Show. So we're still waiting for several other shoes to drop in the situation with Roger Stone. Greg Jarrett, writing about this at Fox News today, pretty much nailed it. The prison sentence of more than 3 years imposed yesterday by a federal judge on Trump associate Roger Stone demonstrates that Attorney General William Barr was correct in his assessment that trial prosecutors were seeking an unduly punitive sentence. Stone was found guilty in November by a Washington jury of making false statements, obstruction, and witness tampering in a case that arose from former special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation. The four prosecutors, two of whom worked for Mueller, requested an absurd 7 to 9 year prison sentence for Stone. The AG determined this was excessive and suggested the prosecutors had become so invested in their case that they had lost perspective. Barr directed that the sentencing recommendation be revised to reflect a more appropriate penalty in conformance with federal guidelines, and he advocated a term of 36 to 40 months. Federal Judge Amy Berman Jackson, she's a piece of work, by the way, she's an Obama appointee, agreed with the AG's assessment and meted out a punishment of 40 months. In so doing, she vindicated Barr's judgment. Her sentence also exposed as folly the demand by more than 2,000 former prosecutors that the Attorney General resign. The signers of the online petition calling for Barr to be banished from the DOJ are a shameful example of a rush to judgment by lawyers who should know better. They assumed incorrectly that President Trump had pressured or directed his AG to revise the sentencing recommendation despite no evidence that political interference had actually occurred. In an interview with ABC News, Barr explained that no one from the White House, including the president, had talked with him about the case or otherwise influenced his decision to seek a lesser penalty. On the contrary, his decision was dictated by an abiding resolve that justice should be dispensed fairly and equitably. Senior DOJ officials agreed with him. Importantly, Trump's provocative tweet, that the original sentencing recommendation was horrible, unfair, and a miscarriage of justice was posted after Barr's decision to revise it. In retrospect, the president was right, but none of this seemed to matter to the former prosecutors who chose to prejudge the attorney general's motivations as nefarious. Judge Jackson's sentence also demonstrates the prosecutors who tried the case against Roger Stone were sorely misguided in their calculations that he should spend up to 9 years behind bars. Their ensuing decision to resign from the case over Barr's common-sense revision was nothing more than a vacuous and petulant protest. Good riddance to them. The sentencing of Stone still leaves unanswered the vital question of whether his trial and conviction were fair in the first place. As I mentioned in a previous column, compelling new evidence has emerged that justice may have been undone by a jury foreperson who harbored a disqualifying bias. The Sixth Amendment to the Constitution guarantees the accused shall be tried by an impartial jury. Tamika Hart, the foreperson, is a Democrat activist who voiced extreme anti-Trump opinions that appear to have been concealed from the court during jury selection. Before she was ever picked for the trial, Hart communicated numerous social media posts highly critical of Trump and actively engaged in protests against him. Even worse, in a string of posts, she commented negatively about the Stone case itself, praised the Mueller investigation, and suggested that the president and his supporters, such as Stone, were racist. Hart referred to Trump with the hashtag of Klan President. She should never, under any circumstances, have been sitting in judgment of the defendant. Hart's record is indicative of a manifest prejudice against the accused by virtue of his close associations with President Trump. As the foreperson who had the ability to guide and even induce other jurors to convict Stone, it is likely he was deprived of his right to an impartial jury and a fair trial. These new revelations merit a full and exhaustive hearing by Judge Jackson upon consideration of the recently filed defense motion for a new trial based on juror misconduct. Reflexively, the new prosecutors are opposed to this. They're wrong to do so. Their judgment on the matter should be held in abeyance until all the facts are known during the course of a hearing. If the evidence proves persuasive that Stone's trial was compromised by a biased and influential juror, Stone's due process rights were violated. Barr may again find himself in the position of having to overrule his prosecutors and join in the request that a new trial be granted. The pursuit of justice requires it. Let's hope, because this is yet another example of if you're a progressive Democrat, you walk free no matter what you did. But if you're associated with President Trump, guilty, guilty, guilty. One more to go. Bonus hour is still ahead here on the Bobby Mac Show on Friday.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.